their delegates, and they were very, very impressed. Our stateside problems continue to go on, thus requiring, much to her risk and jeopardy, the demonstration of her commitment, Sister Terry Buford to go back and assist Marcy in this crucial hour of trying to get our people finally free from that mess. We're moving approximately 15 a week, but it's still a slow process. In 10 weeks, we really don't know whether we have 10 weeks. The crushing blows continue to fall on others who have given assistance to us, Enola Maxwell, under investigation, who a prominent person that was selected by the mayor for an office, but she's been a constant supporter of us and praised us publicly. I offered her a place because she's been indeed a constant friend. The mayor met Marcelin in a demonstration, which she was at on behalf of Enola Maxwell. And the mayor came up and kissed her and said, "I'm with you." I thought I'd like to puke on that shit. If he's with us, we'd like to see some cash. These idiot relatives. Mickey came and attacked Marcelin in the office verbally, and I told my attorney he either going to do something about this shit or he's going to be fired. And I'm not going to put up with this shit. They believe we're supposed to, and Dr. Goodlett told our attorney he didn't know what the hell he's doing, but you don't deal with snakes. And Sandy Lozinko did the same shit. And his idea is to try to make peace. That's a bunch of fucking liberal nonsense. You don't make peace with fuckers who've lost their conscience and their sense. You don't make peace with them. I've been adamant. It's either him or we'll get a new attorney, and Goodlett said he would help us in the matter because he said it's insane. There's no use for socialists to try to communicate with people who've turned over to fascism. And they're working hand in glove with fascist conspirators, talking to treasure agents. We know each one of them have, from the copy that we have furnished to us by this government of the Interpol, which is a Nazi-run organization, police organization, nationwide, internationally recognized amongst only capitalist countries. Socialist countries will not cooperate with it. But it is run by Nazis since it was placed there and in operation by Hitler and appointed by a Gestapo, deputy Gestapo head who'd murdered millions of Jews or tens of thousands of Jews in 1938, and as late as 1972 it was under the direction of a former Gestapo head. It's an ungodly thing that our people who formerly tasted of the fruits of socialism and known its principles could go to that kind of an element. And I don't think anybody that can go from socialism to deal with racist pigs deserve our conversation, and I goddamn well refuse to talk to them. Gets put through this kind of shit, it's going to be stopped, I'm telling you. I have to go back there, set up meetings and come ramming into offices, jamming into offices. They'll get jammed, all right. No, it won't be. My son said it won't be between any bread either. I can't think of any other thing in the news. We're fighting the court case of the Olivers, which we will win, but they're ordering another court order. These bastards are given another court order when we circumvented that, and all that takes a lot of legal costs. So I hope to Christ some of you who've been laying around and laying in your pad. I've got a list of people who are under question. This time I'm not going to mention it. The inspection team, my next people's rally, because I've got plenty to do. All of you that are in your pad better damn well be sure that you are in there with a good cause, because you're going to be brought up publicly. And I know some of you by looking. You're not doing night work and you're sleeping too damn long, and people twice your age is doing it, and out running around inspecting. I was out around running around inspecting when some of you were up in the pad and went to bed earlier than I did. I don't know how you could go into bed any later than I did, being it was dawn and after. And I was up, as always, doing what I have to do. I had no small amount of tension, but it's hell being in that radio room. You are just, I'll turn that PA system and let you listen to it. I don't know how any mortal can take it. I really don't know how I can take it and try to handle all the shit back in the States and all these individual cases, fight them. Last night, they brought Marvin back to town, brought him on a radio show, the motherfucker, to talk about his parents and his relatives, and they had a radio show with these bastards. They won't give him a goddamn dime other than to whip him in and out of San Francisco. What kind of people they are. They ought to, and then talk to them? Hell no, I won't talk to people like that. I ain't talking to people like that shit. Anybody that does this, of course, behind Marvin's Jackie, always a good woman or a bad woman behind any man. But the idiotic filth they told on their own relatives, and they told on Eva Pugh and the wicked kind of shit that they had on. And Coleman says, Dr. Goodlett said, ignore the pukes. Eric is foolish, our attorney Gary. I'm talking in codes. Gary is absolutely stupid, he said, to try to convince these kind of people. It's impossible. Should not talk with them. Should not negotiate with them. He said he agreed with Jim. Goodlett said, slap them with some suits. And that's what the hell I've been trying to do. This fucker is afraid. He's afraid. A 68-year-old coward. Communist coward. Afraid of what the news is going to think about him. Afraid of what repercussions going to have on him. Sure, it's dangerous to be a communist, but he says he can make it in the United States. And if he's a coward, he better get out and come over here and at least have a little peace. Said the only place he ever had any peace on earth. And he wrote, talked before TV, that this was paradise on earth. And it's certainly a place to be for people who are afraid to take on the system because the son of a bitch and system's mean. That's why I want my people out of it. There ain't no use to try to do anything about it because nobody wants to do anything about it. As I've said repeatedly, we have no choices but fascism or communism. People are not able to use democracy. You can't use democracy until you've got a conscience. Animals don't have to be democratic. Turn a bunch of damn pigs loose in this community, and none of us could live. You turn a bunch of hogs, a herd of hogs loose in this community, and there wouldn't be anything left this community in 5 days. Hogs don't know how to be communistic. Humans are just as animalistic without the principles of Marxist-Leninism, without the dictatorship of the proletariat or the working class being dictated. It's too bad that all of us can't dictate it in common, but we obviously see with people breaking people's glasses on purpose and taking people's glasses so that their eyes will be in pain and can't see. Obviously, not everybody's able to dictate the working class sentiment. And up till now, I know that I have been consistently conscientious in doing that job, and I found nobody yet able to take the hell that I'm able to take and give out equality with the justice that I give it out. And so I have become the dictator of the working class interest and well-being. And who in the hell would want to take the choice of going the other way? You can't have any democracy in this mess. You can see from all the people who come over the States how animalistic they are. Goddamn pack of wolves. They come down to the coordinator's office and fuss and raise hell because they don't have a battery. We say, well, our guards that are guarding you from the CIA, because naturally even the CIA can hire people to come in, as we've had clandestinely until the last one was stopped. It's been the only 2 weeks, we've gone in our history that we never had some kind of a fiasco, some kind of an attack on us. But, and give the presentation, we need the batteries for our guards to give you feeling protection. And even after that, they insist on their goddamn battery. Some of you ought to have a battery lit up and set up your ass. Goddamn anarchist. Peace. Not appreciating the dictatorship of conscience that demanded that at all cost and pressure, having pressure in the headquarters and pressure in the boat crew to see that you have nearly $12,000 of meat. That you don't mind taking. You don't mind taking all the medicine. The medical staff going to be up all night, and what that cost to do these pap smears and send that blood work in. Got any goddamn idea? Into the thousands of dollars. Don't mind taking that. But if we ask you for a motherfucking battery, anarchists, a bunch of animals, worse than hogs. And so you got a choice. You either go to the dictatorship of fascism, where a rich group of white racists rule the thing and sell each other out, kill each other. They're so hungry and lustful for appetite, for power and riches. So you've got the choice to go fascist, and you ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of being a fascist. You'll never succeed as a fascist, because there are already too many in the ruling class now that are killing off each other. If they step a little bit out of line like Kennedy, they kill him off. Even though he was a millionaire, he got killed off because he didn't represent as consistently the will of the dictators of the rich as they wished. So they rubbed him out. They brushed him off the earth. And all those sellouts have gotten the same. So you've got no choice but to be a communist. What the hell are you talking about? There is no democracy until people learn communism, which means community, which means sharing. You cannot have any goddamn freedom. Now keep your eyes on me, young man. I don't want to talk to you twice in one goddamn week. You've been surrounded by traitors. Are you going to let traitors poison your brain? Now, I want to say, you want to learn communism, or you learn death. And I've seen it change here in Cuba. I wish I could transport you to an already made society, but I can't do that. Now, Cuba doesn't believe in taking foreigners in, because they believe that they can have their economy infiltrated and broken up by the CIA. And obviously, that's the truth. Obviously, that is the truth. We've got the opportunity anyway. Nuclear war is upon us. Every goddamn night is talk about whether the Arabs and the Egyptians, the Arabs are going to fight with Egypt, and Egypt is going to be in a war with Arab inter-party rivalry, and Israel fighting with the Arabs, and it's constant talk. They're calling a peace convention, and nobody's going to go. Nobody is going to go in the Near East. They called a goddamn convention, and nobody has said they'll go. And all these powers with nuclear weapons, we're fortunate to be here, the one safe place where we got animal life, free from nuclear radiation, free from the genocide plans of what I read to you today, if anybody knows. Got a break because of lateness of having emergencies in the States. You got another people's rally to digest all you've been hearing. How many know all about George and Jonathan that you should? How many know all you should about Che Guevara from the documentary that I've been giving in my own comments? How many know about human rights? I doubt if you could put your hand up for that, because that was just on today, and we didn't get to hear it all. So you need to listen closely about the farce of Carter's policy of human rights and how utterly, utterly disgusting U.S. hypocrisy is, and the fact that freedom is lost in the U.S. I made a case today clearly with law and quoting chapter and verse. It's lost. There's no chance for survival of freedom there. So let us learn the way of communists. Cooperation. If you can't learn it kindly, then let's learn it however we have to learn it. But I think it's a shameful thing that you'd come in here with so many, many goddamn demands. Say, I need a flashlight. What the fuck do you need a flashlight for? This place is lit up. You don't need a flashlight. Your security does need flashlights. It gets quiet when you get talking about things like this. You ought to be grateful that we have thought that much through to give you the kind of security. Your boat needs security, needs lights. You don't need any lights. But you better hope that that fellow that's got that weapon has got a light so he can protect you and spot anything coming on. I was so appreciative to see one of the new lads that had a confrontation on Sunday come marching in with a beautiful radio and clock combination, beautiful thing. Said, just give me a watch. Just give me a watch. Any old watch will do if you got one. And I thought the Anderson youngster, who had been prejudiced by liars about the place, Jerome, had more conscience than some of you who've been with me for years. I don't know where in the world. I mean, these people said they were astounded. These governmental leaders that are here, the Ministry of Education head of the entire country, said it's amazing that you would give all of your people cancer tests one was almost to tears, that we would give cancer tests to everybody all night long to have everybody ready for that boat. She was just overwhelmed and speechless. Because it takes money to take every smear. It takes money to take blood sampling. It takes money to do all that shit. It don't happen. It don't drop out of the cloud. Ain't no fucking manna falling out of heaven. That was all bullshit. Because if there was manna falling out for Moses when he went through that fucking journey, 40-mile journey, the son of a bitch wouldn't have got lost for 40 years. If somebody was able to drop something out of heaven to feed the fucker, he would also been able to give him a fucking compass so he wouldn't have been lost for 40 goddamn years. I don't know how you ever believed that bullshit. You used to sing manna from heaven dropping out for Moses, and yet that prick, if manna fell down to feed the fuckers, it looks like that God up there could have dropped a fucking compass or a road map that kept them from being lost for 40 fucking years and only 40 miles. The fuckers were lost 40 years and 40 goddamn miles. It only took them 40 miles to get across there to that goddamn sea, and the sons of bitches were going around in 40-mile area for 40 years. And then you tell me that there's some God dropped manna, prick. Ain't nobody drops no manna. We have to make our fucking manna, honey. Restroom. Discipline. Learn it, I hope, through principle. Now, all the important things written up there doesn't put it down as much as in the men's prisons and allows them to find their own real feelings. Other women aren't gay, but are more free to explore their own feelings and make their own decisions because a man is never honest or open with a woman. There's still strong pressure against homosexuality, but not as severe as in the men's prisons. Listen to the yard of the men's prison where I was. Almost all the jokes are about men making it with men. You're a fucking faggot. Oh, yeah, well, you take it in the ass. Yeah, well, you suck cock and you know it. Hundreds of men thrown together by the system, sometimes for years and years at a stretch, and the worst insult they can throw at someone is that he might want to make love with another man. Worse, look at the homosexuality the brothers do allow. The sickest goddamn kind, where one man brutalizes and exploits another. One man plays the role of the man, the other, usually younger, smaller, less hairy, more boyish looking, plays the role of the kid. The kid is the slave. The stereotype of how most sick men perceive women. The man, afraid he will be considered a fag if he acts like he really likes the kid, comes on. Yeah, I fuck him in the ass. He sucks me off. He does all kinds of shit for me, and I let him hang around. The man would never admit, we just couldn't, to having any feelings for the kid. He would never admit to giving anything sexually. Just taking. And the kid, in order to justify himself, plays the role of the woman. In America, caca. Always black people with pride write America. AmeErikka. In order to justify himself, he plays the role of the woman in America, the kid does. Taking the man for all he's worth, getting food and drugs and presents from the man, and threatening to leave for another man if this man doesn't provide enough goodies. And under all this sick play acting, often the two men like each other deeply down deep, but are so frightened by the system the prisoners have set up that they have to pretend they are using each other. Why do prisoners approve when one man boasts of abusing and exploiting another man, but get totally threatened when two men just say they really dig each other? Why in this atmosphere did you have to say that there was no women? You had to act like you're the big dick. This man was brave. He died. Can't get any braver than George Jackson.
Raped and molested and kidnapped at the age of 8. And Gerald, I just don't know where your head is at. I mean, I can't even explain it. I mean, I've also been raped also after I got into my teens and after the age of 21. And the last time I was sexually assaulted, I was at the age of 22. And I was also kidnapped at that time. and a train was pulled, and I didn't know who it was. I mean, that's not where it's at. And I think you should identify with your homosexuality, because I can accept the fact that I am bisexual. And I think you ought to look at yourself much closer.
Everybody was kind. So, my boy, I guess he couldn't talk about his homosexual feelings for me. I don't know what the hell was with it, but I sure don't remember anything about that. I didn't know what that was. Perhaps we in that generation would have been better if we had. I don't know. But I helped him. He was a rich kid, and I helped him. He was inadequate as hell with all his money. He was very inadequate. Football player and so forth. But I was working, interesting enough, I think, on his math. I don't remember for sure. And he came in front of the whole assembly and dropped her panties on my desk. And boy, that is a hell of a business. It's a hell of a business. I got my ass out of that school. Went to work. Didn't get sidetracked by love anymore. And became a communist at an early age. And so I'm very grateful she did it and he did it. Because it taught me to, you know, lots of things. And it accidentally or coincidentally led probably on to the perseverance in communism. To where I would never let sex direct me, but I would direct sex to the achievement of my goals, which were pure goals. Could have been equally bad goals if I'd gone the wrong way. So we want to think about this shit when we, if we got a steady relationship. I don't know his case. I'm just, I know it. It's more subjective because I went through it. It's a hell of a business to be constant and not fuck one girl. And the girl that you had, what was the much as love that I've ever seen a kid could have, and then have her in front of all your classmates. It didn't make no difference that some years later she wanted me back, come up to me. The pain and the damage, that would, if it hadn't have been, I don't know what the hell kept me from suicide. I don't know. Responsibility, I guess. I guess it was, someplace in there. It was an animal that needed me. So I took my animal. Because sure as hell didn't think anything else needed me. I took an animal. Someplace, a duck. God damn, I remember trying. By the time I got my duck a home and had to move out of the town and hitchhiked 17 miles. Well, it's good. But you people make a habit of, if you've been hurt, don't try to hurt somebody else. I don't know anything about his case. For Christ's sake, there's enough pain. But Johnny said it very well. Don't take the responsibility. I mean, kick it off on somebody else. It's you got your part in it, too. I'm not worried about the hurt that I've had. I just worry about how many more people are. What I'm thinking about now is not that hurt. Mine's all gone with. I died a long time ago. The hurt is that others are going to have that kind of pain until we have communism, until we learn to feel for people. And it's too late for anybody to feel too much of anything but tiredness. But, yes, restroom, Jared, it's all right. It's a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful thing to hurt people. In a sense, she was a blessing in disguise, though. She taught me not to depend on people. You are all mistaken. You're mistaken to depend upon people. You better depend upon principle. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to that woman. When I think about it, I'm very grateful. Yes. And what happened to me, don't make an exception to yourself. It'll happen to any one of you. Until we get communism, it'll happen over and over and over again. Millions and millions of times it'll happen over and over again. So we are not going to inherit your babies. Some people are principled and don't want to run around here and scatter babies all over the place. So believe me, and we won't just make it easy enough to take a boat ride to Georgetown. We've got to control this. Now, if the three-month period is too long, then revise it here in this closing moment. This is too long a meeting. If it's unrealistic in the world that we live, let's face it here. But if you think 3 months is fair, what is it again? Say?
3 month relationship with no sex. And after the 3 months, you come back, you'd be reviewed for a 6 month trial marriage. You can live together, share a cottage with birth control. Then after, you'd like to